Good morning. You guys can sit over here in the light, please. Alex, Chris, Paul, come on, man. Got the red chairs here, so we got it set up. We're a big family. This is a large home group today. Welcome to Church Light at New Heritage. And as Fred said, this is the... I got to find my notes here. Here we go. Oh, that's not it. Give me 1 second. Sorry. As Fred mentioned, this is the week of Thanksgiving. So I have some questions for you to start with. What kind of music did the pilgrims like?
Worship songs.
Bingo. Tomorrow said it. Say it louder, Tomorrow. Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock. All right. Why can't you take a turkey to church? Because they use foul language. Why was the Thanksgiving soup so expensive? They get worse. Because it had 24 carats. What happened when this turkey got into a fight? He got eaten, beaten. Got the stuffings beat out of him. Why did the pilgrims want to sail to America in the spring? Because April showers bring May flowers. All right. I actually had a slide for this. Sorry about that. So one more. That's right. One more. Why did the pilgrims' pants always fall down? The picture is a clue. Because they wear their belt buckles on their hats or their shoes. Okay. All right. Enough of that. That takes care of my desire. Everybody's walking out too. Wow. This okay. Wow. All right. That's a lot of encouragement this morning. And that ends my career as a comedian. Okay. So let's watch a video though, talking about what Thanksgiving is really about.
Holiday, noun, a time set aside to celebrate, honor, rest. But so many of those days come with complications. Look at birthdays. You plan a party around how you think your friends would like to have fun. No thanks. Valentine's Day. I think we all know most guys tend to get this one wrong. Easter. Spending hours filling and hiding eggs that either get found in 2 seconds or 6 months later. And let's be honest, Mother's Day and Father's Day and Grandparents' Day, for that matter, are really just a conspiracy for the greeting card companies. Independence Day? Once you have a dog or a baby? Those fireworks aren't quite so magical. Halloween. I better leave that one alone. Christmas is an unending stress pot of appointments, fighting crazy shoppers, and keeping relatives from killing each other. Where's the rest in that? But Thanksgiving. Now, that's the most wonderful time of year. No gift-giving madness. Nobody offended by your reason for this season. Thanksgiving is a celebration of all the good things we've been given, in spite of the not-so-good things that happen. Thanksgiving is a chance to enjoy delicious food with those closest to you, allowing a glimpse of hope for mending old wounds. Thanksgiving is one of the best opportunities to honor the one from whom all blessings flow. So enjoy your turkey. I'll be watching the parade, cooking away in the kitchen, yelling over people to be heard and eating way too much. Basically, celebrating, honoring, resting, being.
It's So how many of you like Thanksgiving? Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite holidays. And I want to talk with us, to us a little bit about just the origins of this holiday. We know that the pilgrims came over on the Mayflower, 1620, 120 of them on this boat. Not exactly a luxury liner. Anybody been on a cruise here? I know some people have, yeah. This wasn't a cruise liner, believe me. And it was a pretty arduous trip to begin with. They didn't have, it wasn't very comfortable. They had some rough weather. There's a whole lot of details that I don't want to go into now, but it was very, very difficult. And they came to the coast of what now is Massachusetts, Cape Cod, that area, and they encountered snow. They came on land and they encountered Indians who attacked them, and they went back on the ship and they went down to another area, and they hit some rough weather. Their rudder broke and so did their mast. This is after months at sea. But they found what they thought was the perfect area to build an encampment. And there's a lot of details about that, again, that I'm going to not go into. But it seemed to be just perfect for them. So they went ashore there and began to settle there. This is November. Yes, oh, wow. Guess what's coming? Winter. And it was a particularly brutal winter. They suffered, actually, before they even went ashore, one of their leaders, William Bradford, his wife drowned. And historians think she took her life. We don't know for sure, but because of the way the records are written and the lack of details, we think that they didn't want to put that in and that she just jumped overboard. She said, I can't take it anymore. Boom. So it was not a very wonderful beginning, so to speak. And in December, 6 people died. In January, 8 people died. In February, 17. And in March, 13 people died. At one time, there were only 5 men well enough to take care of everybody else. Now think about that. You're a believer. You believe God has called you to this new land. And you believe that it's His plan and purpose for you to be there, to begin a new life there. They literally were the first group to bring the light of Christ to the shores of North America. Pretty amazing, isn't it? And so, all of a sudden, everybody's dying. One right after another. And, as I said, 47 of the 102 died. There were only four families that were intact at the end of this time, that in which somebody didn't die. Only four families. And yet, according to the Light and Glory, the more adversity mounted against them, the harder they prayed. Never giving in to despair, to murmuring, to any of the petty jealousies that split and divide. Isn't that amazing? And you know, I think about us and our lives and how relatively comfortable our lives are. And how easy it is for us to fall into ingratitude, murmuring, complaining. Anybody joining me in that? I mean, I was up yesterday morning. I got up. I actually got to sleep in a little bit. I got up at 6:30. It's sleeping in for me. And the house felt pretty cold. And I checked the thermostat, and it was colder than it would normally be. So I tried to put the temperature up and nothing was happening. And Linda's sister had spent the night with us and they had plans yesterday morning to go out to take Amy out to breakfast for her birthday with some other people. And so Amy's there, Nancy, Linda's sister, and then Fred's brother Stanford comes up from the basement. He's in a good mood. He's all happy, and he's got baseboard heat in the basement, electric baseboard heat. So he's all happy. So about 8:30, they're ready to go out to eat. Linda goes, are you okay? What's wrong with you? Are you okay? And I went, I've been trying to fix this heat for 2 hours, and nothing will work. I wasn't very grateful. I didn't have a heart of gratitude. They didn't even know. They didn't even know. They're going to go out and have breakfast and have a good time. They're on a good mood, and I'm trying to figure out, why won't the furnace work? So I did all the things you do, you know, and finally I said, I need to get outside help. So I make phone calls, and every place that could possibly help, it's an answering machine. And one of them says, you know, emergency call on the weekend, $300 just to walk in the door. And I'm going, oh, man, I don't want to do that. So finally I go to, anybody heard of Home Advisor? You've probably seen, yeah, I went to Home Advisor, typed in the information. They said, we'll find somebody for you. They did. This guy came. He's actually a Vietnamese man, and came at 10 o'clock. Oh, also, I was supposed to join Fred with the Olive Retreat. That's starting at 10. This guy's coming at 10. So everything is getting convoluted. But praise God, he fixed it, and we've got heat. Now, you compare that to what the pilgrims went through, that's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. Yet we read that the more adversity mounted against them, the harder they prayed, never giving in to despair, to murmuring, to any of the petty jealousies that split and divide. So let's look at this subject of gratitude. Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in everything. That's easy to do when everything's going well, isn't it? Whoa, thank you, Lord, for this bonus I got, this Christmas bonus at my work. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you for the car that my aunt gave me. She can't drive it anymore, and she wanted me to have it. Wow, thank you, Lord. What happens when the car breaks? What happens when the furnace doesn't work? What happens when you not only don't get the bonus, but they give you a pink slip? Makes it a little harder, doesn't it? A little harder to rejoice always, to pray constantly. Rudy's got his hand up. You got a question, Rudy? Are you going to... Oh, my gosh, yes. Rudy said that Dunkin' Donuts closed early and he couldn't get his coffee.
And my phone was making butt calls.
And his phone was making butt calls. Wow. I mean, that was a tough day, man. Wow, we'll pray for you after the service. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Rob. Yeah, 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 yeah. Rob was saying, as the Christians are being persecuted, Paul's saying this, you know, and many of his letters are written from prison. And he's, you know, he's saying, hey, you know, this is great being in prison. I was able to witness to the guards and to everybody else around me, you know, an opportunity I wouldn't have otherwise had. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Rob. That's right. Right in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, rejoice always. Pray constantly, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus. Henry Nouwen says it this way, gratitude needs to be discovered and to be lived with great inner attentiveness. Our losses, our experience of rejection and abandonment, and our moments of disillusionment keep pulling us into anger, bitterness, and resentment. Can you say amen to that? Yes, amen. So, the other thing we need to do is we need to remember. We need to remember what God's done for us. Tom did a great example of that. He remembered what his professors had done to help him through life, and he shared with them that, and they remembered him, and they reminded him that some of them have come to faith. And, you know, I love the fact that God wants us to remember. Do you remember in Joshua, they'd crossed the Jordan. The water had actually been cut off like it had with the Red Sea. They crossed over on dry land. Everybody remember that story? Yes? Okay. And so in Joshua 4, 6 through 7, we read, "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." God told them to stack up stones in the middle of the water there to do what? To remember, right? Remember. And all throughout the scriptures, we see God saying that. Remember, remember, remember. When we celebrate the Passover, when we have our Passover Seder, what are we doing? Remembering, yes. So God is constantly saying to us, remember what I did. Remember when I took care of you there. Remember when I met you here. Remember when you called on me and I answered you there. I haven't changed. We sang that song this morning, Good, Good Father. He is a good father and one that doesn't change. William Shakespeare actually said, "Let never day nor night unhallowed pass, but still remember what the Lord hath done." Isn't that amazing? William Shakespeare said that. A little more colorful English than I might use or you might use. "Let never day nor night unhallowed pass, but still remember what the Lord hath done." Wow. The next thing we need to do is we need to express our gratitude. We need to remember what God has done, and we need to accept our circumstances. That doesn't mean we're not trying to work to improve things or change things, but we need to remember the words that we've said it over and over again: all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purposes. Romans 8:28. All things, all things, all things, all things. It reminds me of the little boy who came down Christmas morning and he found in his stocking a bunch of straw. Straw. What would you think? He goes, "There must be a horse around here somewhere." Yeah. All things work together for the good.
Amen.
Thank you, Nick. You want to say that one more time?
Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I love this quote from Vivian Green. "Life's not about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain." How many of you believe God's called you from time to time to learn to dance in the rain? How many of you are going through a time right now where God's calling you to learn to dance in the rain, huh? Come on, Fred. I know you're... Fred's been through a lot with trying to get his house worked on and improved, and one good thing leads to another bad thing, and it's just I think it's getting close, huh? Yeah. Yes, getting close. The end's in sight. You can see the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train, right? Right. Okay. Well, what we need to do also is to exalt the Lord. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever." Psalm 106, verse 1. Psalm 100 and verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him," and what? "Praise his name." Does it say to do that only when things are going well? No. And things weren't always going well for David either, were they? No. And he's saying, "Give thanks to the Lord." Why? Because he is good and his mercy endures forever. "Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Let me share with you again about the pilgrims. Something special had been born among them. In the midst of all the dying, they had shared the love of Jesus Christ in a way that only happens when people are willing to suffer together in his causes. Wow, isn't that powerful? You know, I just want to encourage you. I realize we're a small gathering this morning, but for everyone here today, I just want to encourage you When you sit around your table on Thanksgiving, whether it be in your home or in the home of a friend or family member, should the opportunity present itself, just take a few minutes to remind everyone of why we're celebrating Thanksgiving, of what these precious men and women went through for us to have this, not for us to have this holiday, that's what I mean. The reason why we celebrate this holiday. And just remind yourselves of all that they did and that the special people that they were. Paul says, "My grace is sufficient. My power is made perfect in your weakness." They understood something about God's grace. Paul understood something about God's grace. You would not believe how many times he writes the word grace in his letters. If you have a time when you're reading through the letters of Paul, just mark grace every time you see it. It's like when you get a new car and you get a Toyota Camry, and all of a sudden, what do you see all over the road? Toyota Camrys, right? All of a sudden you notice them. Wow, look, there's one. You didn't really notice them as much before. Same way, when you start looking for the word grace, you'll be shocked at how many times Paul uses this word. He understood something about grace, and this is God speaking to him about what? Remember? Where did these words come from? He's speaking to him about his thorn in the flesh. He said, "My grace," you know, there's a lot of discussion as to what that was. Some people think it was his eyes. A lot of different things are thought about, but whatever it was, God said to him that his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in Paul's weakness. His power is made perfect in your and my weakness. But we need to pursue that grace. We need to pursue the grace. It's not like a thermostat where when the temperature gets too hot or too cold, it automatically clicks on, or like one of those old thermostats that used fuzzy logic. Any of my scientists know what fuzzy logic is? Kim Fowler taught me about fuzzy logic. Remember the thermostats had a metal coil in it? Okay, that coil would expand and contract, and that would determine when the furnace was turned on or off. So it wasn't precise like your digital thermostat is, you know, when it gets to 69 degrees, boom, it turns on or whatever. So it was called fuzzy logic because it was approximately what you wanted it to be. How many of you remember with those thermostats? You might set it at 72, but the thermostat temperature gauge on your thermostat would say like 70. See, that's because of fuzzy logic. Well, God's not like that. He's not fuzzy logic. You have to pursue his grace. You have to enter into his grace. You have to grab hold of the grace. It's there for you. You just have to grab hold of it. I had an experience a week ago, actually almost 2 weeks now, where when Jamie Johnson was with us and he was needed to go to the airport, and I actually asked my neighbor, who's an Uber driver, and I thought it would be a great chance for Jamie to talk with him because he's also from Iran. And I said, "I'll pay you to take Jamie to the airport." So I see the Uber driver later that afternoon, my neighbor, and he'd also helped me with some other rides, and I tried to give him a $100 bill. He wouldn't take it. He said, "No, I can't do that." He says, "Your friends, your family, no, I won't accept that." He wouldn't take my $100 bill. Any of you like to take my $100 bill? So then, he took payment, but not the $100. Yeah, I wanted to bless him. He says, "No." He says, "It costs $20 to take him to the airport. That's all." Friend rate. Yeah. So then I had a young woman had helped me. You remember I shared the story of the guy at the submarine last week? How many of us here heard that story last week, how he almost died? Yeah. Well, I had commissioned a young woman who's an artist to paint a picture for him of the submarine, of his submarine. So I had that picture. I was actually able to present it to him. So I wanted to show my gratitude to her, and I tried to give her the $100 bill. She wouldn't take it either. Too small. No, she just said, "Mr. Reinhardt, you've done so much for me and my family, and you've helped us in so many ways. I can't accept that. I can't take it." So same day I went to Whole Foods, had to buy a few things. I gave the I gave the woman at the cash register the $100 bill. She said, I got to go check it. I said, that's okay. I said, thank you for taking my $100 bill. Nobody else would take it. I told her the story as I paid for some groceries at Whole Foods. So that's like God's grace. See, he's got the $100 bill, but guess what? We have to grab it. We have to grab hold of that grace. When we're going through those difficult times, when we're faced with those circumstances that are beyond our comprehension and understanding and our ability to do it out of our own strength, we need to say, God, I need your grace, and just draw on his grace. And guess what? It's sufficient. It is absolutely sufficient. That's all you need. That's all I need. It's all any of us needs is his grace. And so, as Paul Harvey would say, well, what about the rest of the story? What happened to these poor pilgrims who were suffering so much during that first winter? Well, winter passed. The weather started to get a little better. And the snow melted and things were getting better for them. And, you know, they had this kind of fortress they were in. And one day, one of the guards yelled out, Indian coming. Not Indians, Indian. And this Indian walked into the camp, and he was, He greeted them in perfect English, and he asked them a question. Anybody know what the question was?
Do you have any beer?
Very good. Wow. Yeah, he said, you got any beer? You read the book. Go, Bill. All right. Bill was one of my students. I used to teach this years ago. He said, good memory. That's great. Makes me feel good. Yeah, he said, you got any beer? And thank you, John. And they said, the pilgrims looked back at him and says, our beer is gone. Would you like some brandy? Y'all don't think about it, but the pilgrims, do you? They love beer. They love brandy. In fact, they were so happy to find some fresh water they could use to make more beer. That was. So, this Indian's name was Samoset. Now, he shared with them that the area in which they came on shore, in which they built their village, in which they were now residing, had previously been occupied by one of the most brutal Indian tribes on the East Coast. But just a couple years before they came, they had all mysteriously died of an illness. Every single one was wiped out. Yeah. And he said that the next closest tribe was a very friendly tribe. And he went and told the tribe about the pilgrims, and that's what brought a name that most of you are familiar with, if not everyone, Squanto, into their midst. And Squanto had been part of that tribe, had been wiped out. He'd gone to England. He'd learned English. He was proficient in the language. He was proficient in the English customs. He loved the English people. He'd actually lived in a monastery for a while and had been introduced to their faith. Yeah, isn't that amazing? God provided all of this. And then he taught them how to plant corn and how to fertilize it and how to catch the fish and do all the things they needed to do to survive. And so all spring and summer, he's helping them. They're growing these crops. They had like 20 acres of corn. They had fish. They had all the things they needed. And then comes the fall, and they're grateful for the harvest. And so they declared in October that they were going to celebrate. Governor Bradford declared a day of public thanksgiving to be held in October. Massasoit, that was the chief of the other tribe, was invited and unexpectedly arrived a day early with 90 Indians. All right, how many of you moms, women in here are going to be preparing Thanksgiving dinner? You see a few hands? All right. Can you imagine if your guest arrived a day early and now your guests are 90 Indians? 90. All right. And, but they did. They brought fruit, Bill. I'm going to just share that. Yeah. This is great. Five dressed deer and more than a dozen wild turkeys. Now, I've never seen a dressed deer before, but anyway, I don't know, you know, coat and tie. I don't know how that looks. But anyway, five dressed deer, and they helped them to make some of their food, and they even taught them to put the corn in these kettles on the hot fire and make popcorn. And the pilgrims provided vegetables from their gardens, carrots, onions, turnips, parsnips, cucumbers, radishes, beets, and cabbages. And they used some of their precious flour. They took the summer fruits, which the Indians had dried, and introduced them to the likes of blueberry, apple, and cherry pie. Amen. And it was all washed down with sweet wine made from wild grapes, a joyous occasion for all. They were having so much fun that they extended it for 3 days. 3 days. Wouldn't you love to do that? Bob DeRosier's not here today. His family does that. They meet like for almost a week for their Thanksgiving celebration, his whole clan. I think that's the way to do it. And the account continues this way. Surely one moment stood out in the pilgrims' memory, William Brewster's prayer, as they began the festival. They had so much for which to thank God for providing all their needs, even when their faith had not been up to believing that he would do so, for the lives of the departed, and for taking them home to be with him, for their friendship with the Indians, so extraordinary. When settlers to the south of them experienced the opposite, for all his remarkable providences in bringing them to the place and sustaining them. Wow. Isn't that an amazing story? That is the story of Thanksgiving, of how it began and what happened. They gave thanks. And so I want to close by just encouraging us this morning. When you're going through difficult situations, when you're faced with dilemmas that are unexpected, draw on God's grace. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. Enter his gates with praise. Give thanks unto him. Bless his name. And realize that God has not left you. He's not left us. That he will make a way. Realize that all things do work together for the good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. Realize that there are people like the pilgrims who went through extraordinarily difficult circumstances. And our brother in the faith, the Apostle Paul, who heard the words from the Lord himself, "My grace is sufficient." Yeah, my grace is sufficient. That's all we need is God's grace. It is sufficient. And there's nothing else that we need to draw on than his grace. Amen. Can you say amen, Nick? Amen. All right, let's stand together. And I'm going to invite Fred to come up, and we're going to end this morning with the Aaronic benediction. However, Paul's not here today, so Fred's going to sing it for us. No, actually.
You don't want that.
Here you go, brother.
You know, Randy mentioned that we've been doing some home improvements, and during the course of it, if any of you have a refrigerator that has an ice maker, you know, you have a water line that goes up to the ice maker. Well, they moved the refrigerator, And when they moved the refrigerator, the water line broke, but nobody knew it broke. So all night long, water was pouring into Nick's room in the basement. Now, Nick wasn't there, thankfully. He was at his parents', but the whole place was flooded. And I'm sorry, it's his grandparents, sorry. And right, I'm the parent, right? So, all things are working out for good. And I was reminded as Randy was speaking, this one thing Paul said, another thing he said. You know, we live in Baltimore City, and I've been living there longer than I ever thought I would live in any one place. I was living there before I even got married. So I've been there about 25 years. And we're right on the city-county line in the city. And when I moved there, I was part of the community called the Lamb of God. And many, many, many families live in that area. Over the last 25 years, virtually every family has moved away. The Droziers are still there, but virtually everybody else has moved away. Do you know what that can cause? Especially when they're moving into the county and to nice, really nice areas. What can that cause? It can create, anybody know the word? Jealousy. Right, jealousy, envy, you know. And so I'm just confessing that, you know, at times I've had to like say, Lord, because we tried to move once and everything fell through. And somehow we had to learn to find the grace. But Paul says this, and this has been an encouragement. Maybe it's an encouragement to you too, if sometimes you need to find it difficult to find the grace. He says, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. And I think he gained the strength by practicing the art of thanksgiving. So, Father, just thank you for this Thanksgiving. Thank you for Randy's message. Lord, thank you that you do give grace to give thanks in all circumstances. And thank you that all things work together for good, even floods in the basement, for those who are thankful. So, Lord, bless each one of us today, this week, this Thanksgiving, with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name. So if you could play the, this is the blessing. A little different, almost the same as Paul.
Yevarech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Penav Lecha Vichunecha Yisa Yahweh Penav Lecha Ve'yasem Lecha Shalom.
So may the Lord bless you and keep you. Shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. B'Shem Yeshua, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Go in peace and thanksgiving.